There's a mushroom on your shirt.
Oh, I'm a failure.
Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Thursday, October 21st. I'm J.E. Skeets. Alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Tass. Got my Top Shot Hot Boy, Trey Kirby.
Hi-yo!
Hi-yo! Well done. Bulls are back. The International Man of Mystery, taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friends.
Let's see the shirt, Lee. What are you repping there? Oh, a little No Dunks Knicks t-shirt for all of y'all out there. Go to nodunks.com. You want to grab one of those. Looking good. And last but not least, making the magic happen, it's super producer JD.
Hello.
There he is. And here we are. Shout out to the stream team rolling through right now, joining us live on YouTube. Take a second to hit that like button, comment away. If you haven't, subscribe and share the show. As most of you know here that are live, we're trying to get to 50,000 subs by Halloween. Yesterday, we surpassed 43K, so 7K to go. Let's do it. We can get there. We got 10 days to do it. Please subscribe if you haven't already. Action-packed show, of course. We had 11 games on last night. We're going to try and touch on many of these games, but I will say right now, we won't get to everything, okay? And it's going to piss some of you off that we don't talk about your favorite team or your favorite player or whatever performance, whatever play. We get it. We understand. But we did an hour 45 yesterday. We got to tighten that up a little bit here because this is a daily show. It's a long season, though. We're here every damn day. So we will get to talking about your squads, unless you're a fan of the Magic. We'll never talk about it. But I just wanted to, you know, preface the show with that. We won't get to everything. But I got a bunch of questions, guys, that I think allows us to touch on many of the games from last night. And the first cue, it's pretty simple. Lee, you can get us started. What was the best game or even just your favorite game from a very busy Wednesday night? Where are you going?
Well, you make fun of the Magic, but I'm going out to San Antonio for the Spurs and Orlando. Oh, was that great? No, I think there's only one answer. And of course, it's Madison Square Garden there for the New York Knicks. And if you haven't seen this game or even the highlights, just to know how good it was, we're one game into the season and we've got a double bang from Mike Breen already. And it was fully deserved. There was nothing gratuitous about this. This wasn't just like, oh, it's the first night, I'm going to get excited. This was an incredible game, an incredible ending. And this morning, my notes for this game, written and rewritten about 1,000 times. So I don't really know where to even start here first. Evan Fournier's incredible shooting in both overtimes. He finishes with 32 points on 6 threes. He's throwing up the threes already there in Madison Square Garden. But Jeff Van Gundy wasn't happy with him throwing those up because he kind of messed up the final defensive possession in regulation. Other guys were culpable too.
Kinda.
Yeah, kinda. I mean, Kemba was also pretty bad in that possession. But Evan Fournier certainly responded in those overtimes, hit 4 threes and was incredible. Julius Randle picked up where he left off last regular season, going for a pretty quiet 35-8. And I say quiet because there was so much going on there last night. Right. He hit those two clutch free throws that sort of put the game out of reach, but not really, because then Jaylen Brown came down and hit a huge... It was the Marcus Smart. So I'm lost. Yeah, I've been watching all over the place.
Bang, bang.
Kemba Walker... His homecoming was actually decent, I thought, last night. Hit a couple of threes, but, and his mum was high-fiving fans in the crowd. It looked great, but he also messed up 2 plays, really, that gave the Celtics a chance. Sloppy, yep. Lazy passes. Oh, my God, they would have killed him if they'd lost that game. The Knicks should have been safe. They led by 6 with under 30 seconds to go. They led by 4 with under 9 seconds remaining. But that's when Kemba kind of panicked and the Celtics pounced, and Marcus Smart did get open somehow for a wide open three to extend the game. And that's where we got the double bang. So it's all sort of coming together. You guys are going to have to help me fill in here. But the Knicks, honestly, in overtime, it just became a matter of literally who's going to be ahead when that second overtime ends, because they were both just so exhausted. Some incredible shot making by both teams in the three-point. RJ Barrett had a good third quarter. He hit a huge three. Grant Williams, back in regulation, I think this was. He hit 2 big threes here for the Knicks and for the Celtics. But the Celtics, I know, I'm crazy. I don't know what I'm doing. I
one of those games, mate.
I volunteered for this first answer this morning, and then as I'm running, I thought, I should have just let one of the other guys go first, because I don't know what the hell I'm talking
about.
Well,
I didn't ask you for the play-by-play for the fucking game. I mean, I just asked you for your favorite game.
Right, if you're the Celtics, you wake up this morning, right? You come out of this game having made more threes than the Knicks, having out-rebounded them, more assists, more steals. It felt like they got a million second-chance points. I bet Thibodeau was going crazy on the side. Jaylen Brown, who was kind of questionable even coming into this game, coming out of COVID, had 46 points, most ever in the first game of season for a Celtics, including that atomic bomb in regulation, where Fournier actually bodied him okay, played good defense,
yeah.
And the Celtics managed to keep it close enough there. So, look, I thought for the Knicks, two things they sorely missed in the playoffs last season was just Mitchell Robinson's presence. He had 17 rebounds and 11 points. And Obi Toppin's energy was incredible. He had massive alley-oop from Derek Rose. I have no idea if it was in regulation or overtime, but it was just a game that... I mean, this is what we really do talk about, though, with the Knicks and Madison Square Garden. It felt like the fans were on the court there last night. Everyone was going crazy, and Jason Tatum had a chance as well to win the game. He had a pretty bad shooting game, Jason Tatum. He didn't look all that good there, but the Knicks also had a foul to give. They didn't use that, so they kind of almost blew it there. So I don't know what else to say about this game. It was just incredible, incredibly fun, a great start between two of the oldest rivals of all time. And Evan Fournier, man, I questioned whether or not he was going to have much of a difference, much of an impact on this team. And after game one, they're hanging his jersey from the rafters already, because he was nearly the GOAT for the wrong reasons. And then in overtime, those three threes in the first overtime were just incredible. And then he hit that fourth one in the second overtime, which kind of gave them the breathing room there. Derek Rose then had the layup to finish. But basketball's back. The Knicks are back.
It was insane. Tass, what do you add to that? Do you have any of the play-by-play lines that you'd like to slip in there?
Well, a lot of things made this game special. First, when you go to overtime, generally you see a lot of clunkers. You see a lot of misses. You see some low-scoring overtime periods.
Yep.
But the overtime period absolutely made it. They hit eight consecutive shots between both teams in that first overtime period. It was just back and forth, back and forth. Even Mark Jackson on the call had to just sigh and say, you know what, this is good shot making. Because at first he said, you know what, yeah, good shot making, Mike Breen, but bad defense. And then the shots just keep coming, and Mark Jackson just had to say, tip my hat to these fellas. These guys are making absolutely every shot. Evan Fournier comes in, yeah, a questionable signing for the New York Knicks, and has a career high. A career high in his first game, 32 points. You got Jaylen Brown. Obviously, he doesn't have long COVID. He's got short COVID there. He comes in, 46 bangers. And I'd love to see, the Julius Randle rebound from that playoff series. He's one of my favorite players to watch because, yes, he's athletic, but he just generates just enough space with every shot he makes. It seems like every shot has a hand in his face that he takes, and it goes in. He's not jumping over people, but he gets enough space. So it was great to see him. Yeah, it's an overshadowed 30-point game for him, overshadowed 46 for Jaylen Brown, overshadowed 7 for 30 for Jason Tatum, and that horrendous shot at the end of the first OT that was way off. The Knicks, I guess when we step back, Kemba Walker, not a great game, really, when it comes down to it. But if you've got guys like Obi Toppin, who looks like he's a young player, coming along with 14 points, looks like he's much better in the second season. Mitchell Robinson, who looked really good. I have no idea why they paid Nerlens Noel so much to be a backup center. It really doesn't make sense. It's like Derek Favors with the Utah Jazz last year. Might have to attach a pick to trade him away, but their picks are doing well. The Knicks were rocking. Madison Square Garden was rocking. If only the Celtics had a No Dunks t-shirt made for them, then maybe they would have won this game like the Knicks did. When it all comes down to it, yeah, I'm almost swayed. We had this question on Beach Steppin'. Would you rather go see the Knicks in Madison Square Garden versus a very bad team against in OKC, or the Brooklyn Nets facing basically whoever, because you've got a championship team in Barclays Center, and you watch that Madison Square Garden, you watch everybody in there, and it felt amazing. And it was great that it peaked at the end. Usually it's right at the end, but it got better in the fourth quarter, it got better in the overtime. Yeah, the second overtime was a little.
Yeah, mad. I was going to say, you pointed
but
out when
one
they
overtime
eight consecutive
is great.
Shots,
I mean,
but then they
want?
Missed like
didn't
10
score
consecutive
for 3 minutes.
Shots. Yeah, yeah. It was, you don't see a game like that often where nobody can miss, and then it looks like grade 8 basketball out there, where it's like extra sloppy, chuck fest, brick fest, and a lot of it, I think, was fatigue, because they were gassed. I mean, the Celtics, Schroeder missed a wide-open layup, again, Unlike you, Lee, I have no idea when that happened, but I know it was instrumental. And then Jaylen Brown doinked the dunk. I guess we do have to make a no dunk shirt for the Celtics because that was huge too. And, you know, just an insane game. But Trey, you were tweeting about it. I saw. We were like debating whether it felt like game seven of the NBA Finals where teams are terribly gassed, but there's some great playmaking. Or I said maybe it's like March Madness too, where suddenly like there's a bunch of threes and everybody's on fire and then it looks really ugly at times. Just a crazy first game in MSG though.
It was awesome. The only place I would rather see a game is at Red Rocks.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, it'd be wild out there. But I don't know. Like, one of the most clutch plays I feel like was, hey, I think it was at the end of regulation. Jason Tatum slipping on the floor. I felt like that kind of threw off the Knicks. They're like, oh, this play's going to be over. Game over. Said. He just fell down.
Yeah.
And they somehow advanced the ball, and then Marcus Smart hit him with the double bang. Yeah, that was awesome. It was completely lit. I like Julius Randle's quote afterwards. I'm so tired, I don't know if I'm hungry. We've all been there. Personally, when I'm tired, I'm eating 100% of the time. But also a great game for Tom Thibodeau. Got to play his guys 46 minutes. Nobody cares. So that's a great start. And, you know, the Evan Fournier face. It took over Twitter last night. Come on. The first game Evan Fournier plays in Madison Square Garden in this picture was just perfect for the Knicks. It was like he messes up at the end of regulation. That face works. He hits a couple of big threes in overtime. That face works as well. Once a Knick, always a Knick.
The stream team, excuse me, pointing out, Lee, do you need a cigarette after your breakdown there?
But I don't know about you guys, but you know, last night we knew it was going to be chaos with so many games going on. You watch a game like that, especially in that sort of fourth quarter and into the double overtimes, then you're like, oh, there's three more games kind of tipping off right now. It's like, oh, I do need someone to towel me down here first, because you need to recover a little bit from that. I mean, everyone just felt so emotionally exhausted, because it just felt like the Celtics were going to steal it. For me, it was like, because the Knicks kept giving up those second chance opportunities, and it's like, it's going to cost them at some point. But I think those heavy legs of guys like Schroeder, you know, they just didn't quite have it there in the end. But oh man, seeing Spike
luckily
Lee
they only have another 81 games to go. Hope they're not too tired. I thought it was Dennis Schroeder's number holding him down. 71 out there looking like a left tackle. Pretty weird.
Yeah.
You've got some people confused. Sorry, you know, this is classic streamer doing its dumb thing here. That photo, not real, right? Stormtrooper, no, that is, as I then put up, that's from 2K, but yeah, it's not very good, is it? But it's also perfect.
It looks exactly like
him. Oh, man. Opening night is Tuesday night with the doubleheader action on TNT, but for the real sickos, opening night of the NBA season is that Wednesday night. It is last night when there is so many games on. You're trying to keep up. You're seeing what Ja Morant's doing over with the Grizzlies, and you're seeing highlights on Twitter, and you're seeing, oh my God, suddenly the Hornets have come back from down whatever they were. It's like, that's what it's like. This is the NBA season for the diehards, I'd say, where you're trying to keep up with everything and trying to figure out where to even watch and what game to stick with, and that's part of the fun.
It's FOMO. It's FOMO. Yeah, major FOMO. It is. Because you like that. You think, oh, okay, looks like the Pacers have got this one. And then all of a sudden, the Hornets are back in it and LaMelo Ball's going crazy. And you're like, okay, I've got to watch that one now. And then Ja Morant, every time Ja Morant touched the ball last night, it was something unbelievable that he was doing, whether it was the blocks, the dunks, the passes, the threes. It was massive, massive. I don't know how we even keep up.
Yeah. Does anyone want to make a case for another game to be the best of the night or a favorite? Trey's... I mean, I do have best individual performance. You know, Jaylen was amazing, don't get me wrong, but I went with Ja Morant if I had to pick that. But Trey, anything else, game or player, I guess?
I'll give a little love to the Pacers versus Hornets game. That was one I was able to catch the end of after the Bulls finished up. But to me, the reason it was important was because it came down to free throws at the end. And, you know, you've seen some of the highlights. You've heard Eric Collins on the call, but a clutch free throw is not something that you think is going to get an NBA Jam call.
Right.
But PJ Washington hits two free throws to give the Hornets the lead with, like, 5 seconds left. And Eric Collins hit us with two beauties! PJ Washington has gravel in his guts!
Yeah.
What a call. Like, how do you get hyped over free throws? Even Lee Ellis doesn't get that hyped over free throws. But an incredible comeback from the Hornets to pull that one off.
Yeah.
Came down to their little guys line up there at the end. Incredible stuff from LaMelo and some funny calls from Eric Collins. It was like mid-season form from literally everybody. And you're right, though, Skeets. Second night of the NBA season is the night. You know, it's jam-packed. But I always feel very strange, like when I want to call it opening night. Like, that was opening night for most teams.
Right.
But it's not opening night, yeah, you know? That's true. But also, like, day two, night two, that kind of looks a little bit lame, if you ask me. So, I don't know. Is it still opening night, even if it's not opening night?
Yeah, opening week. Yeah. Yeah, something like that. I guess we're going to have... I got tonight. Do we have four?
We got some more opening nights tonight. Yeah.
Right. Off the top of my head, what we got? The Mavericks, the Heat, the Clippers, and the Hawks. Actually,
yeah,
are the four teams that haven't played yet. So yeah, after tonight, there's no more openers for some of these teams. I'll just slip it in here. I was gonna save it till later, but you brought up those Eric Collins lines, the Hornets play-by-play guy, who is amazing, going nuts over the free throws. He also said really early in the game regarding Ish Smith. He said, second man in a revolving door, and he was the first man out. Like, wow, that's awesome. Then TJ McConnell for the Pacers is just dribbling up the floor, doing nothing. Eric Collins drops a Jerry Mathers working the dribble. And, like, Del Curry didn't even react. And I also laughed at this because he ended up being right. Hayward banks in a lucky three, you know, pretty late in this game. And he goes, I always say whoever banks in a three is going to win the ball game. Eric Collins was at 100 for game one. I mean, and then you said the gravel in his guts line too there for PJ.
Gravel in his guts.
I mean, these are gold.
Speaking of commentators' lines, actually, just go back to that Knicks and Celtics game. After Jaylen Brown got the steal and missed the dunk, Mark Jackson had a good line. The operation was a success, but the patient died.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, everybody is bringing it from day one here in the NBA season. We love it. Tass, are you making a case for any other game, or you want me to keep going here with the questions?
Let's give a little love to the Sacramento Kings.
There you go.
Because they said, take that, Jeff Schwartz. Jeff Schwartz, the agent for Marvin Bagley, who said, what's take up? That, you're taking Jeff? Him out. Take that, Jeff. Mr. Schwartz, check your watch. We're winning basketball. The fact that he comes out for trying to defend Marvin Bagley being out of the rotation. Check your watch. We got to give that line to Eric Collins. He'll go with it, man.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on. The line, was that Jerry Mathers like from Leave It to Beaver talk?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, 100%.
Is that a 50-year-old quote?
I mean, I know. He's just pointing out that TJ McConnell's a funny-looking white guy, I guess.
Oh, okay. That he looks like Jerry Mathers. Okay.
Yeah, he's got the cut. Like, he's got the hair. I mean, sort of. Yeah.
Sure. He did his pregame homework. You know that Eric Collins did his homework for that game. It was even the Hornets. Like, they mobbed PJ Washington a couple plays later. So he helped get the stop on Domantas Sabonis, and then they just mobbed him. You don't usually see a guy get mobbed for making free throws, but I guess they were the winning free throws. Anyways, take that, Jeff Schwartz. He complained about Marvin Bagley not being in the rotation. The Kings were right. Luke Walton was right. Take him out. They played so well in Portland. Ball movement, player movement, everybody buying in. Buddy Hield coming off the bench, so Tyrese Haliburton was starting, and Luke Walton asked about it after the game. He said, we're going to need everyone, so he kind of said, he implied that Marvin Bagley will be around and be in the rotation if Jeff Schwartz allows him to, I guess. But the Kings, wire to wire, they played so well. Now, how long does this last? Who really knows?
Right.
But they're playing really hard with that starting lineup. Again, a Fox, Haliburton, it was Mo Harkless sneaking in there alongside Rashawn Holmes, who does his thing. And Harrison Barnes was the offensive guy who made 8 threes, 36 points.
Yeah.
And Walton said after the game, I want him to take 8 threes a game. So we'll see if that keeps up as well. But nice start. Nice start there for Sacramento.
Yep. Nice to see the Wolves get a victory, too. I know they're playing the Rockets, so you should do that. But, the Kings as well. A couple teams that people are sort of hoping for to at least have, like, a decent season would be a start, right? Flirting with 500, maybe making a play-in push. Okay, next question here. We'll keep it moving. And, by the way, if you're in the stream team there, let's hear your answers for all of these. Best rookie performance. Tass, you can get us started with this. I got an idea where you're going, but who do you got?
Oh, no, I'm throwing you a curveball. Skeets. Yeah, call me Barbara Billingsley. Did she throw curveballs on Leave It to Beaver? The best rookie performance for me, Evan Mobley is coming for you. Ooh. He is coming for the rookie of the year. I'm ready to change my pick from Jalen Green. The worrisome part with if you're trying to pick Evan Mobley as a seven-footer, maybe he doesn't get the ball, maybe he doesn't get enough touches, but watching the Cleveland Cavaliers, and I know I care more about the Cavs probably than anybody, but Evan Mobley, man, I don't feel like I'm watching a seven-footer when he touches the ball. Yeah. He can make plays, goes to the elbow, making pass. He had six assists in this one. He brought it up the floor at times. He does not look like a seven-footer, but he was playing the four. He was playing the five. He buried a three. He changed a lot of shots, even though he had one block. He guarded everybody, played 38 minutes in his rookie debut, finished with 17-9-6. It just feels good if you're the Cleveland Cavaliers seeing Evan Mobley drop down to three. And I understand why GMs in the GM survey picked this guy to be the best rookie in 5 years. Super talented. Mm-hmm. It's a weird thing going on in Cleveland. I picked them as a crazy dark horse because I'm trying to pick somebody from those Magics and those Pistons and the Cavs to jump into the playoff picture this year. It's weird watching this team. Ricky Rubio was lighting it on fire in the first quarter, making things happen, and then he came for the ball from Colin Sexton. Colin Sexton said, nah. Now, that happens in the NBA, but I just don't think this team is going to be in sync. Colin Sexton wants to be the lead guard, and he can score, and he scored last night, but it's just too many hands right now, and I don't know how that's going to work out, but Evan Mobley's just got to be on the floor. He was amazing, and he played beside Jared Allen, who was 11 for 11 in this game. He didn't friggin' miss. So pretty cool stuff from the Cavs for, you know, the future anyways. It's a weird thing with Colin Sexton going on right now, but big ups to that guy.
Yeah, it is tough not to see Bosch-like comparisons with him, how he plays as a rook here. I know there's some Anthony Davis comparisons for Mobley as well. But yeah, 17-9-6, stealing a block, and a ton of minutes. And I think you're right, Tass. I think the big question mark was, well, where are they going to slot him into this lineup? Because they've got a strange rotation of bigs. But he played alongside Jared Allen. And then, he played alongside Lauri Markkanen. So he was the five sort of in that lineup, a stretch four in Lauri Markkanen. So that's good. Playing a ton of minutes. He was great. I thought you were going to go with Chris Duarte, though. Yeah. It was pretty special, Lili. I don't know if you have him at the top of your list, but he looks amazing. He looks Klay Thompson-like, this guy. He can shoot the ball, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, he's a mature age rookie. He's 24. Yeah. He's a Canadian Dominican Republic there, too. But, yeah, he just looked pretty comfortable out there. Went 6 for 9 from downtown, 27 points, 3 for 3 at the line, 5 rebounds, and hit some big shots late there for the Pacers. So he was certainly the most unexpected, I think, rookie to have an impact on the night. He was the 13th pick in the draft, so not a lot of people even sort of really looking at the Pacers. But I think sometimes just when you are a little bit older, you know, you're just a little bit more emotionally and physically ready for the NBA, because he certainly didn't look like a kid out there who was overcome in the moment. He knew he was going to get some shots. He knocked down some early on and then and hit him late. So yeah, he was my pick, because I think also being in the first game of the night, which was a good game. I mean, the Pacers are up 23 and they blew it. So he got some nice burn there. So that could be an interesting guy. Don't think he's going to win Rookie of the Year. I mean, maybe this is just his first game and maybe not. He won't be able to keep up that sort of performance. But, you know, I think sometimes just being a little bit older can really help you adjust and adapt to the NBA game.
Yeah, that 13th overall pick, it's been good for some teams with the guards when they're trying to find some scoring. Think about Donovan Mitchell, 2017, Booker, 15, Zach LaVine, 14, Tyler Hero, I know had a bad year last year, but people are still high on him. That was in 19. So, yeah, what is it about that 13th pick and the scores? That was a great game from him. Trey, anyone else you're throwing in here for best rookie performance?
Those are the major ones, no doubt. Mobley was surprisingly good, especially having to fit around all those big guys. We'll see how that turns out. I thought it was kind of strange that Isaac Okoro is already coming off the bench for the Cavs. Mm. Don't like that. I think Markkanen will be the guy that eventually goes to the bench for them. Şengün had a nice game, 11 points. He was 3 of 4. But my favorite rookie thing from last night was Scotty Barnes pregame. They put up something on the old Jumbotron there, retweeted by Metro Boominati. Scotty Barnes' favorite food is what? It says his favorite food is baked beans.
Wow.
Which I was loving. My guess, this is probably like a two truths and a lie sort of thing for the game, right? Like, he says a couple of things that actually pertain to him, where he was born. We know he was drafted number 4, but I do like to think that he's straight up beans powered out there. Had a nice hook shot as
oh,
well.
Oh, yeah, he had a sky hook.
Yeah, hit a sky hook. Sky hook Scotty right away.
Lefty,
yeah. So, Scotty Beans, Baked Barnes, whatever you want to call him. I'm happy for him because he looks very happy.
Yeah, yeah. Matt Devlin said Sky Hooks are back after that one.
Yeah, yeah. He hit one in the preseason, too. I know a lot of people probably don't know that. Go ahead, Taz. What
Jerry Mathers used to sky hook it to death over with Ward Cleaver and over Barbara and over Wally, no doubt. I think his favorite food is baked beans. His baked beans, pretty sweet. It got some yep. sugar in there, and there's a video of him eating a bowl of cornflakes, and he's dumping sugar in it from training camp. Now you don't think of cornflakes. You think, oh, that's gross, putting sugar on sugar. But it's not a really sweet cereal, so it's all right to throw some sugar in there as a whatever you are. Is he 20? Is he 20? Anyways, as a kid.
I think so.
So baked beans. I'm buying it. I'm buying it.
Lee, like a baked bean?
I love baked beans, absolutely, yeah. I've leaned right into the bean these days, ever since watching that.
Lean into the bean.
Lean into the bean.
Yeah. Put it on a t-shirt. I'm giddy about those beans.
Yeah, I love them. Give me those 365s from Whole Foods, man. They're the best. They're the bomb bean.
Those are the bomb beans, okay. Yes, we've turned into the bean stream here.
Well, there was that big report that a lot of teenagers are developing tics from being on TikTok, and they just keep saying beans too much.
What?
Yeah, I don't know. It was trending on Twitter. A lot of people were sending it to me, obviously, but it seems to have taken over. So I don't know, Skeets. We might have to have another beans party. I'll come over. Bake some beans on your stove for 12 to 14 hours.
Stink up my house and all.
Not eat them.
Beans.
And then just dip out of here.
it's a real good bean party when the guy shows up, makes a bunch of beans, you don't even eat them.
Nope.
All right, I got another question here for you guys. Most surprising performance. This could be team or player. You can go wherever you want with this. Trey, how about it?
Well, it's no surprise that the Bulls are back!
Oh, boy.
But it's a surprise how they got their win last night, 94-88, a defensive victory for the Chicago Bulls in 2021. Oh, exciting times. But not a great start for the Bulls in the first quarter. So many missed layups. Many people on Twitter were saying that the Bulls are not back. They were ready to dunk on the Bulls. Oh, I thought this team was supposed to be great at offense. I know y'all weren't watching the game because you would have just seen Nick Vucevic looking like he was playing his first game of the season, missing a ton of layups. But they got it together in the second, third, and fourth quarters. That's 8 straight wins for the Bulls over Detroit. They're now over 500 for the first time since March of 2017. Skeets, last year on the show, I was saying the Bulls were back a lot. And one of the most savage burns of the season was when you said to me, back over 500? And they were not.
And they were not, no.
It took one game this year. So that was exciting. Yep. And Zach LaVine, I thought, looked great. Looked exactly like what people were hoping he would look like with the added talent on the Bulls and his experiences with Team USA. He finished with 34 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 11 of 17 from the field. Lee, you're going to love it. 11 for 11 from the line. Had a couple of huge rebounds, too, to really seal this thing on the defensive end after the Bulls got a couple of stops late in the fourth quarter. He was just ripping them down. You could tell that he had a little bit more juice and just a little bit more verve to make these all-around kind of plays. I thought Lonzo and Caruso were exactly what the Bulls needed, playing that defense out there and just making things tough at the point of attack. Caruso was everywhere with deflections. The defense didn't look terrible. I mean, they were playing the Pistons on night one without their number one pick, Cade Cunningham, so conditions are perfect, but the Bulls still went out there and did it and then had the comeback win. I was very, very happy last night.
Yeah, what'd you think of the Pistons' court, just while we're talking about that game?
Boring!
Like, yeah. It's really strange.
Where the paint at?
Yeah.
That's the thing, is with the Pistons, you just always sort of look for that blue paint in the key, and this one sort of looked like the Grizzlies' court there, where it was going to really open. Don't like it. Don't like it. Doesn't suit them at all, but it actually sounded like it was a decent crowd there in Detroit.
Yeah, you know, I think they're excited about this young team. I mean, I know Cade Cunningham, of course, but they do have some young talent. I mean, Killian Hayes struggled once again. I think he was 0-for-6 in this game. But you got Sadiq Bey and Isaiah Stewart, big beef there. And you got a bunch of Canadians. I think it's all the Canadians coming down to watch the Pistons bench.
Yeah, that's right.
I really didn't realize they had three Canadians on the squad there now in Corey Joseph, Kelly Olynyk, and Trey Lyles. So
that was the first time three Canadians on the same team on the floor together.
Oh, was it really?
In NBA history, yeah. Then the Raps did it a little bit later in the night, same night.
Oh, okay.
They had the triple Bs.
Yeah.
Birch, Banton, and Boucher.
Nice.
But the Pistons did it first.
Yeah. There you go. Wow. Man, they beat the Raps to that.
Yeah, beat them.
What a shit night for the Raptors it was. Man. Not only did they lose, but they lost that little stat, too. That sucks. Okay, so yeah, the Bulls are back over 500. That is very good stuff. Even though it was a really weird to see a 94-88 game, I got to admit, in 2021. Not that the Raptors-Wizards game was much better. Go ahead.
Yeah, the offense just down the stretch for the Pistons. Just give it to Jeremy Grant and see what happens. That's strange. I know, yeah, like you said, Killian Hayes, bad night. But Bay was balling, and Isaiah Stewart had a really good game. I just felt it didn't feel like a Dwayne Casey team to just give it to one guy and just see what happens. It was ugly down the stretch for the Pistons, but yeah, the Bulls figured it out. I want Zach LaVine to. I know he's ended with 34, but and he's being a nice guy. He's being letting everybody get.
He was being a nice guy. I thought too.
Yeah, letting everybody figure it out. I want more Zach, but anyways, he's looking like a leader. Those rebounds were real nice, as Trey pointed out. He's looking like a different guy. They keep talking about his demeanor's different. Now he's going to be a different player out there. So. Good start. Although
it's sort of nice for the Bulls to now have two guys in DeRozan and LaVine that when you need a bucket or at least to like create something, they in theory have that, even though it was a pretty ugly offensive game from both teams there. Okay, so that surprising in a way, the Bulls are over 500. Lili, where are you going next?
Well, my pick was we've sort of covered a little bit the Kings and the Blazers there because you just don't expect the Kings to have such a great performance on the road in game one. And I just wonder, I'm just going to like talk this into existence here a little bit here.
Okay, let's do it.
Continuity is huge in the NBA. And you look at the Kings, Fox, Buddy, Harrison Barnes, Rashawn Holmes, they've been together a while. So at some point, that should really factor into their favor, shouldn't it? You know, like it should be like, hey, we know each other. These guys can just play together. They've been together for a couple of years now because only two or three seasons in the NBA is a lifetime if your core players are there. And I just thought that's got to play into it at some point, you know, doesn't it? Really?
Yeah. I would even throw Halliburton in there. I know it's only his second year, but second he's the season, type of player where that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they've kind of got everybody. I mean, Harrison Barnes obviously was a free agent, or they traded for him, you know, not drafted, but the other guys have been. And, Buddy Hield, I guess he came over early on. He was a rookie when he came over, but he's been there for a while, and they just seem to know each other. So that could play into it because, again, that's a game last night. You would think Lillard and McCollum would easily just handle the Kings at home, you know, season opener there in front of their fans. But the Kings were in control of this game. For the whole, pretty much the whole game. Mm-hmm. And that was a bit of a surprise there to see. So good for Sacramento. Hopefully they can lead to something else a little bit here so that they're not just in chaos after what happened there with Jeff Schwartz and Marvin Bagley just before the season. Felt like, here we go again. Let's hope the Kings can get it together for at least a couple of weeks here to start the season off.
Yeah, be careful. I've done it so many times on this show where I get excited about the Kings because they're playing some decent basketball and they always let you down. Always. So yeah. Just, you know, proceed with caution. That's all I'll say. As for me, surprising, again, we also touched on it a little bit, but I learned my like early season lesson last night, and that is don't be a My Buddy Grish. Don't turn off a game just because it's a 15, hell, even a 20-point lead with a lot of time to go. I'm talking about the Hornets game. I did that. And, you know, there's a ton of games on. It's a 7 o'clock start. I was sort of focused on that, getting those Eric Collins lines, and then Pacers just have this monster lead. I'm like, well, there's other games on. See you later. Good win, Indiana. And then suddenly, I mean, it was before I could find Survivor on Demand to record, it was like a tie game. And I was like, what the hell happened? And you know, again, it's just a lesson to be learned for everyone out there. It doesn't matter in today's NBA if you're down 20 points. It doesn't. Like, you're in the game if there's enough time to go, and they can erase it in a hurry. And they did. That deficit was gone, I think, before the end of the third quarter.
Yeah.
And LaMelo was sensational, both on the court and off the court, wearing the yellow highlighter look there with his, I guess, what was that, a Lamborghini? I don't know what he was standing in front of. It wasn't a Chevy Trax, I know that, but 33, 9, and 7, and he hit the 7 threes. There it is, yeah. Oh, my goodness, look at, like, the Joker people are pointing out.
LaMelo is ready for the limelight, isn't
he? Holy crap. He is fun to watch, though. And that game was fun. So just surprising in a way that I shouldn't be surprised what I'm saying, but I was. Like, oh, yeah. You know, you're always in these games in the NBA. So that was just a really, really fun comeback and then ending to it, as we talked about. Tass, what do you got for a surprising performance?
Well, I don't know which was more surprising in the Pelicans-Sixers game. The fact that Jonas Valanciunas goes 3 for 19. It's just an odd number to see for a guy who can, you know, dunk his way to a few baskets. Yeah. 3 for 19, surprising. Or the fact that Joel Embiid, the center he was playing against, is now going out for dinners with his team. Hmm. He said that he likes to, you know, throughout his career, he's just a hotel room guy playing video games on the phone, he also said, but never going out with his team. But now the Sixers are trying to get together, trying to hang out. So he went out for dinner. It seems like, you know, for one of the very few times in his career with his teammates before they hammered the Pelicans. That was kind of a close game. It was tied at half, and then the Pelicans' offense just fell apart in the second half. But what's not surprising from this game, Nickeil Alexander-Walker, another Canadian shout-out, balling. He's looking good, 56% from the floor, 23 points, 4 of 8 from 3. I know you're not surprised, Skeets, because he is going to be up there for the most improved player award. Just year 3, looking good. And one surprising thing, I think, because it was a late game, I know we were all gassed. The league got toweled down after the first set. But there's an MVP playing on a national TV game. His name is Nikola Jokic.
Yep.
Nobody respecting that man. The least talked about MVP, reigning MVP in history. I have no stats to back that up, but it sure feels that way. And the guy was awesome again. Just feeling so good. Looking like that same guy off one leg, doing whatever the hell he wants. He's a magician out there. 27 points to lead his team. To a bit of a revenge win over the Phoenix Suns because they bounced the Nuggets in the second round last year. And yeah, the Suns just a bit of a anemic offense in the second half themselves. Book was having a real bad game. But let's talk about Jokic a little bit. You know, I just hope that people don't forget how great that dude is. He looks great. Looks slender. Looks good.
Yeah. Of all the games on last night, which one were you least interested in, Lee? And you know what? Let's just take Magic Spurs off the table. I know we're not going to probably talk about that. It was a blowout, too. Spurs got it done. Magic are going to be one of the worst teams. But just like, which one was it to you? I actually think it was Sixers-Pelicans.
Because
I don't know, maybe we're so tired of talking about Philadelphia because of the whole Ben Simmons drama, and then this whole Zion thing and him not playing, what the hell's going on there? But do you have another answer?
Well, no, not really. Well, that was the game that I was like, I can afford to sort of overlook this one because I think the Sixers win it anyway. And then I was keeping my eye on the Wizards and the Raptors, and the Wizards were up double, like 20. And I was like, oh, man, what a stinker up there in Toronto. So you can sort of overlook those games as you're going through, especially when there are these other ones going on at the that are going so crazy. So, but yeah, Orlando, San Antonio, when you saw that, you're like, okay, sweet, we're down to 10 games on the night because, you know, I mean, you can't sit through every single game and be like, right, I need to know exactly what's going on out there. You know, you just keep your eye on the score. If the score is in the sort of spot you expect it to be in, then you're like, okay. I mean, look, again, the Cavs actually made that a pretty good game there against the Grizzlies too, which was great because it's like, awesome. Ja Morant is just like the highlight reel machine there. And but the Cavs, you know, made it a game. So, you know, those ones sort of reel you in. But it's hard that first night when there's so many. You forget what it's like in the middle of the season when you're kind of like, you're just in the groove. Like, okay, I can switch around here. I can move over to this game. But when it's the first night of the season of that, you're like, where am I supposed to be right now? I'm not sure.
Right.
But yeah, the garden kept me going. I mean, it was great.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You had to be toweled down by your wife. It was crazy. And Trey, I will say, I know a couple of us said it, but you were leading the charge. Ja Morant looking good. The possibility of him making his first All-Star game after just one game. Wow, what a line. I just wanted to point out he took the most shots he's ever taken in a game. That is crazy stuff. 17 to 29. From the floor. That's 59% if you want to round up. And then he had the 6 boards and 6 assists, couple blocks, one of them just a beauty chase down. He got so high on erasing that shot in the 37 points. If the Grizzlies are decent, he's in this thing.
Oh, for sure.
Just, and like you said, Lee, it's like every play's a highlight play.
Yeah, and I think Kendrick Perkins called him a generational talent because he has Russell Westbrook's athleticism and Kyrie Irving's handle. It's hard to debate that. And I mean, I'm not going to be debating Perk anyways, but I like this stat from Easy Money Sniper in the stream team. Ja had 30 in the paint versus a 3 7-footer lineup.
Yeah, right.
That's pretty impressive. And obviously, he's a guy who lives in the paint. And I think Jaren Jackson Jr. being out there, despite the fact that he didn't have a great game, he was good on defense, but he's going to give a little space. And if he's able to stay healthy, that just makes Ja Morant's job a little bit easier getting into the lane because nobody can stop him anyways. So if there's even more space out there, good stuff for Ja. Plus, I think they're going to be fine.
Yeah.
Like there's a, you know, the middle of the Western Conference and with some of the injuries that we've had here, it's not quite the same Western Conference that we've seen. I think they're at least going to be a play-in team, the Grizzlies will. And if that's the case, I think Ja's going to be an easy choice for All-Star.
Okay, I got more questions to help us round up that very busy Wednesday night, but let's take our first break.
If only starting your fitness journey was as easy as starting this podcast, that would make me so happy. The truth is, all the lift big, get big, and beach body ready in 3 weeks pressure stops most of us from even starting. And starting is what matters most. It's everything, really. It really is. Wherever you're beginning and wherever you want to be, Peloton encourages you to just start. With thousands of classes to get you moving and doing what you can. If that's a 10-minute low-impact class, they got those. And when you're ready, take it up a gear. You know, a 30-minute live DJ ride. DJ John Michael, that guy plays the hits. He always gets me going. Start with Peloton and find instructors that will keep you motivated to stay on your fitness journey. Learn the basics and build from there. Remember, doing something is everything. Get started with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, back with No Dunks. Questions recapping the busy Wednesday night. 11 games on in total. If you're just joining us, take a second, hit that like button. Subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. We do this every day, live at 10 a.m. Eastern, having a lot of fun talking about the games. Apologies if we don't get to your team or your favorite player, but it's a long season. Don't you worry. All right, our next question, though. Let's get a little, negative. Who disappointed you the most? That's the question. I'll get us started. I'm sure Tass might chime in as well on my answer. They say, Tass, the ones that you love hurt you the most, right? The Raptors were very disappointing, specifically their offense, which was abysmal. It took the Raptors 34 minutes to score 50 points. Wizards, by the way, just to give them a little credit, they look like a decent team. They got a lot of guys like that can play. They're going to be okay, I think. But the Raps, Van Vliet, 5 of 20, 1 for 9 from deep. And then OG, felt like everybody's pick for MIP, 3 of 17. He was forced in the issue, I thought. So your two main guys with no Siakam there going a combined, what, 8 for 37? Going to be tough to win the game. And it was bad and it was ugly, Lee. I get why you weren't tuning into that one or turning away at least, because it was looking rough. They couldn't score. Yeah.
And I think the first three of the game was a Fred Van Vliet three too. And
right. That's exactly right.
Then he went 0-for-8. So yeah. When you're sort of scrolling through last night, you're looking at the score and say, wow, that's ugly in Toronto. And they never really made a push either. And their top scorers were Fred with 12 and then Scotty Barnes with 12. So that just shows you that, you know, yes, you do have to give the Wizards some credit there for making life a little bit tough there. But the Raptors just couldn't get anything going. And the fact that all of our Toronto family and friends up there, everyone was so pumped to have basketball back in Toronto.
Yeah.
Since I think it was February 20 of last year, and you go and lay a dud in front of your fans there. So and you know, again, it was against the Wizards. I mean, this is not, you know, like a huge, you know, like the Bucks or the Nets or someone there in town, and they just got bad. It was like they should be able to get a victory against a team like the Wizards, but they didn't. So anyway, it's one game of 82. You're gonna flush this one down the toilet. I'm sure the Raptors will be back there.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, look,
there go the big beans.
Kayla Gray talked to Masai Ujiri during the broadcast. Tass, I don't know if you caught this.
Nope.
In their discussion, their very quick, you know, courtside conversation, it only reaffirmed to me why I didn't touch the Raptors over underline. If you remember, I was like, I don't know what to expect of this team. They could just like mail it in and go for another lottery pick and slow play Siakam and just let the young guys try and learn, you know, or they could be a good team. You know, there is some talent on the squad. But I say this because Masai Ujiri, and I saw many people to point this out on Twitter, he said young and grow like five times in two sentences in talking, and then even threw in the dreaded R word. This is game one of rebuild. So, yeah, I don't know. Again, it's just one game, but even Masai Ujiri, was he just trying to like temper expectations with this squad? I don't really know what he was doing, but he said that a lot. Young, grow, and even rebuild. Maybe that's what we can sort of expect with this type of Raptors season, Tass. I don't know if you have comments on that.
But yeah, let's go a little positive here. A couple great baskets for their first career baskets.
Oh,
Scotty
sure.
Barnes with the lefty hook. And then I'm just got to stay, because really, really the best part of the game was the intros for me. That was great. It was touching to hear local Toronto boy Delano Banton get that ovation. He's from Rexdale. He's from right there.
That's amazing.
The first Canadian drafted by the Toronto Raptors to get that ovation. He said, actually, I saw him in another interview with Kayla Gray saying, like, listen, all my buddies want tickets. I can't do 300 tickets per game, but I'm going to distribute them evenly amongst everybody.
Oh,
love
nice.
That guy. He's not just giving them to his close, but he's giving them to everybody evenly. But yeah, second round pick from this year. His first basket from like mid court.
Yeah.
A 3-point heave at the end of the third quarter. That was pretty cool.
He played, you know, well, too. I mean,
yeah, he's a great player.
Like, he was a silver lining last night.
I like him.
He looks like he might be ahead of Malachi Flynn in the rotation immediately. He's energetic, and, you know, nobody else played really all that well for them, but he was good. Yeah.
I also don't want to touch them because we don't know what Pascal Siakam is. They don't have their whole team, so it's very hard to point where they're going. They don't know what their offense was. The scary part was, yeah, the Wizards played well defensively and just were able to just run it down the Raptors' throat and were able to just get sort of too many open shots. And that's not Raptors basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So that was odd to me. I don't know if it was just being, overwhelmed being home again. I don't know. There's excuses. But that wasn't Raptors basketball. That was just, yeah. It looked like, unfortunately, I think the best comment that I got in my WhatsApp chats last night was, looks like 12 JYDs out there, 12 junkyard dogs. Like, nobody could create.
No.
It just looked like just a lot of struggles there on the offensive end.
Yeah, it could be that type of season. What do you got, though, Trey, for a player or team that disappointed you the most last night?
The Raptors are up there, as are the Portland Trailblazers, losing a home opener to the Sacramento Kings. Like, that's just honestly abysmal to give up that many points to the Kings. And, you know, kudos to the Kings, like you're saying, Lee, for actually playing well and a little bit of continuity there. But the Blazers have a ton of continuity, and they were playing at home, and they just got smoked. I mean, they ended up losing by, what, 3 points? But that's ridiculous to me to lose that game. I think this is going to be a long season for the Blazers. I don't think they really did much to actually improve their team. Larry Nance Jr., the biggest name that they brought in, had 2 points off the bench. They're going to be a top-heavy team once again. You know, Larry Nance Jr. will certainly be better. 11 for Anfernee Simons off the bench, which is nice, but that's not reliable to me. This is a team that's going to struggle to make it into the play-in tournament, I think.
Is this a team that's going to then have to make a trade and possibly move off of like a CJ McCollum or something like that?
They need to.
If they start so slow.
They've waited too long, honestly, at this point. They should have traded CJ McCollum a couple of seasons ago before he had any injury concerns. It's just not going to work. You're never going to be able to play defense with Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum as your backcourt. It's never going to happen.
Lee, where do you go for this question? Disappointment.
Well, we sort of covered it, unfortunately, there with the Raptors because they just didn't bring the juice.
Oh, jeez, you too? You know, you didn't even watch the game.
No, well, I did. I mean, I was flicking back and forth there, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I did overlook the Spurs and the Magic. I was like, okay, there. Now, I wasn't really expecting too much out of the Jazz Thunder game there. I did want to see the Australian rookie Josh Giddey, who looked okay out there, got a couple of baskets, had some rebounds. He looked nice, but it wasn't really a close game. So, yeah, I mean, that's what it comes down to. Like I say, the Raptors, they had their home. Everyone was like, my God, it was like a playoff game there in Toronto for the first time. Remember that first playoff game against the Brooklyn Nets? Everyone was like, oh, my God, we're in the playoffs. And they kind of stunk in that game. Well, this one was even worse. So, yeah, the Raptors will be back, though. Don't worry about it.
Okay. And anything else, Tass? Any other, like, even player performances? I mean, Tatum had a really bad night. And, you know, you threw in sort of Booker struggling there and Lillard struggling from three and Van Vliet, like I said. Anyone else I'm forgetting?
Well, from the Houston-Minnesota game, it was disappointing to see Jalen Green, a rook, shoot the way he did. But on the other side with Minnesota, it was kind of disappointing not to see Anthony Edwards shoot every shot. It's like he wants to come down and shoot it every time, and I just want 100 shots from that guy. He's got a heat check for his heat checks and for that heat check. He's just ready to go. He's calling timeout for the Rockets when he hits a shot. That was pretty cool. Buries a shot. Hey, Steven Silas, let's do this, man. T, call a timeout. You got to do it. So he only had 29 and Towns had 30. Great start for them. But yeah, for all the rookies, you know, I threw Jalen Green in there. It was disappointing. Cade Cunningham, I don't know when he's coming back for the Pistons. He's been basically out for the whole camp as the number one pick. Jalen Green, 4-14 as the number two guy. Evan Mobley was great. As we said, number three. Barnes was okay, 12-9 for the Raptors.
A lot of turnovers, but yeah.
Yep, that's a good point. Jalen Suggs, 10 points on 3-14, the number four pick for the Magic. The number five pick, excuse me. And then Josh Giddey, as you said there, Lee, for OKC. I'm not so disappointed in what he did on the floor, but I'm a little disappointed in myself because it took me this long to make the comparison to Xander on Survivor. I think there's some Xander vibes on Survivor.
Yeah, I sort of see it.
A little bit.
Yeah,
I mean, there's
the flow for sure.
The flow, yeah. Josh Giddey's definitely got the evil genius, the evil superhero look for sure.
Yeah.
Strong.
More chiseled, yeah.
Yeah. Well, look where he gets it from here. Here's his dad.
That's his dad?
That's his dad, Big Warwick, yeah.
Oh, my God, he played for Kmart?
That's the Melbourne Tigers, that'd be probably 1989, 1990 there, the headband there. He's looking like a sort of a workout video, you know, from the 80s there. And
what's weird is that his dad looks like Russell Hantz a little bit. Take off the wig. You see that, Trey?
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Young Russell before he beefed up a little bit.
Yeah. More just the face. Just focus on the face. Okay. Wow. Let's hear from everybody, though, in the stream team there. Who disappointed you? Yeah, I see people pointing out OG and Book and some, unfortunately, some people saying Tatum. Yeah. What was that?
I think that was a flub on my fat finger right there, putting up that.
It's not you. No, it's not you. Don't say it's you. It's StreamYard. They have a weird system to bring in comments because you go to click on the comment that you want to share with everybody, and then it just goes, it just populates, and suddenly you're picking something else. Mm-hmm. Don't put that on yourself, Tass Millis.
Well, I've really been struggling with
No, no, no. Put it on yourself.
By now,
you should know. Yeah. You just scroll down a bit. You scroll up a bit, and then it stops moving. And then you can put up whatever you want. Okay. Now.
Yeah, no, I was trying to go right to left. I was trying to pass the comments, and I short-fingered it, so I fell on the comments. Then I tried to get off, and then I was already on the comments. You know, with our new laptops, I'm all over the trackpad. Like, I'm trying to type something, and I'm hitting the trackpad. What's up with that? I don't know.
It's a big trackpad. I'll give you that.
It's a huge trackpad.
What do you mean new? You got this computer 2 years ago. You just took it out of the box?
No, it's... Well, I've been using it for half the time.
Okay, so that's two years.
Well, I've been using it for
a year and a half.
Okay. Well, my wrist got fatter since the pandemic started.
Wow.
His wrists are just weighing him down.
Varicose veins.
One more cue here, and then we'll talk about the... next 25 names that were announced yesterday for the NBA 75, the 75th anniversary team. The final cue, fun one, just favorite random moment. Maybe it was something you saw, on League Pass or something else you saw on Twitter or whatever happened from these games. Task, get us started. What was your favorite random moment?
Well, I'm going to talk about the rules, boys. I know people don't want to talk about the rules. That being said, this is a positive, a very, very big positive. The new rule where players will not get a call when they get a defender in the air and they just throw their body into them as they throw up a shot. I think players have learned that they're not going to get that call. And there was a key play down the stretch, Bulls, Pistons, DeMar got his defender in the air and DeRozan didn't jump into him. Because the defender landed fairly close. I think DeMar maybe even could have got the call because I don't think it would have been an awkward shooting motion to the degree that people have been getting calls recently or in years past. But either way, he jumped straight up and didn't try and get the body. And that's basketball. And so that was pretty cool to see. It seems like it is working. It seems like players understand that's not hoops to be jumping into a guy like that and to be getting the whistle. So that turned quickly. And just to further the rules talk, another rule change has been that players are always, doing the home run, the twirly twirl to ask for a video review.
Yep.
And they're not getting it. It's now the ref's sort of prerogative, the ref's call as to whether or not a ball going off a guy in the last 2 minutes should be reviewed, whether or not it's a reviewable situation, whether or not really it went off one guy or the other. So I saw in a number of instances, refs just allowing the play to happen or just allowing the play to continue. Love it. So far, so good. We're watching basketball instead of stripes.
Yeah. Felt like they were letting them play a little bit more than they have in years prior. In a lot of the games I saw, the Jaylen Brown one comes to mind, Tass, right? Where he got called for a charge, I believe it was, on Kemba, who...
A lot of charges.
Not sure it was established there, and I think Jaylen went to the ground, and he was like, come on, let's do it, there it is. And, nothing
that's
coming
that
from,
questionable
it, from his coach
one,
or the refs, yeah.
The questionable, like, when he sort of leaves the ground, and then Kemba sort of slid underneath, because Kemba was outside the restricted area there, but it's still a bit of a danger.
But I also, like, Jaylen is, like, he's slithering him around, he slithered around him. I mean,
he hits him, and he goes down, but it's not a great call because that is the dangerous play. You should definitely be there before the guy takes off, even from 1 foot, really, because that's his intention anyway from there. But I think even opening night we saw the same thing. Lots of good, just letting them play a bit more physicality, not calling every single time there's contact a foul, because that does take the fun out of the game. So good stuff, referees so far.
Lee, do you have a favorite random moment from any of these games?
Yes, well, we've obviously talked a lot about the Raptors. It wasn't a great night, and we know who their biggest fan is. That's Nav Bhatia, but we know who their second biggest fan is because he also made the news.
Hardcore Raptors fans never miss an opportunity to come down here to Scotiabank Arena, even hours before the game. Vernon is here. How you feeling, buddy?
Pretty good. Vernon, a game over Ernie, been entering my 15 years as Raptors season ticket holder. Very excited. They finally come back after two seasons in person, full capacity, can't wait.
You got a Go Raptors Go in you?
Yeah, let's go Raptors, weed or north. Woo!
Mo Birdie. Was that on television or just
PPTV?
And the Raptors let him down. How disappointing is that?
Mo Vernie's going to have some fire takes, I think, about this round.
Oh, yeah,
you
he
just
is.
Wait. If the losses continue to pile up here and they continue to struggle to score the ball. Yeah, wow. What a look, too, man. Love the shirt, the glasses.
The reveal, the slow pan. So good. And I'm convinced, Skeets. I mean, you're right. He does say AKA Mo Vernie, but the first time I heard it, I definitely thought he said Big Game Mo Vernie.
Well,
it was a big
AKA,
game. I mean, it was a huge game.
AK Mo Vernie. He leaves out the second A.
Yeah, but, you know, Lee, you saw Mo Vernie at a Raptors finals game. I saw Mo Vernie at a Raptors finals game. I'm calling him Big Game Mo from now on because he shows up for the big games.
Oh, yeah. He's a lot of fun, Mo. He brings great energy as well, and he absolutely loves his Raptors. He gets a little upset when they don't perform all that well, but he's always there. 15 years as a season ticket holder. Well done, Mo. That's great commitment.
I want to know how long he was standing outside the arena before the game. It felt like that was shot at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. There's no one else there. All right. I'm glad we got Mo on the show.
Big fan, but I think he was trying to sell his tickets for last night as well.
Oh,
so I don't know how big a fan.
Come on, big game?
Come on,
Preseason, he's already asking, hey, if anybody wants seats, let me know. 15th season entering as a Raptors fan, but probably sold, I don't know, 90% of it. Only goes to the big games, I guess.
He's got to make his money back somehow. All right, let's wrap this up with Trey's answer to favorite random moment. Where are you going?
Well, I'm simply blessed beyond belief to be able to utter this phrase after night 2 of the NBA regular season. JD, roll that beautiful beef footage.
Rudy Gobert had 21 rebounds. Beef is back. That's a lot of roast beef, which is rebounds.
Wow.
First big beef of the season on opening night, kind of. 21 for Rudy Gobert. You mentioned it, Lee. An easy win for the Jazz over the Thunder. This was a game that I was not going to be tuning in for. A team that you're thinking is probably going to get the number one seed out west versus a team that maybe going to challenge for 14th seed out west. An easy one for the Jazz, but nice to see Gobert out there grabbing them boards again. 21 big ones on the night.
Wow. Andre Drummond was flirting with bench beef last night down in...
Bench beef?
Yeah, 17. Have we ever had a bench beef before?
I doubt it. Yeah. That's a good question. He could be the first bench beefer.
You don't
beefer.
Think so? Like, Cantor maybe didn't do it off the bench?
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's a fair point. Cantor beefed hard last year. I don't know if they were off the bench, though. I'll have to do some beef search. Got to do my own beef search.
<All right. laughs> Check the beef tracker. Unfortunately, no wedgies yet in this very young season. Couple close ones, though. Couple of the games I was seeing. There was a few like, Not sticking, but we'll get one this week. I'm pretty confident about that, especially with these new Wilson, these sticky Wilson balls that we got in play. All right, so that's our best recap as possible of 11 games. Okay, apologies if we didn't get to your team. Give us time. We will. Probably over the course of the week, if we're being honest. The second 25 members of the NBA's 75th anniversary team were officially revealed on Wednesday, just one day after the first 25 were shared. We had some big-ass names on this list. I guess ESPN's better at drafting names than TNT, but they got Wilt, Duncan on it, Michael Jordan, Kevin Garnett, Allen Iverson, Magic Johnson, Zeke, Jerry West, on and on and on. I won't read them all. I just wanted to point out here, I tweeted this, so apologies if you follow me on Twitter, I'll be repeating myself, but we head in now to tonight where we're going to get the final 25 names. We will have the full 75. And if we are to assume that the 9 guys left from the NBA's top 50 list back in the 90s, I'm talking guys like Shaq hasn't been announced yet, Pistol Pete, if they also make the top 75, and it's looking like that right now, it feels like nobody's going to be bounced. It's still in play, but nobody has yet. Then that will leave us with 16 spots. All right. Again, that's if the 9 guys on the top 50 all are still on the top 75, and maybe a couple get crossed out. But 16 spots is not a lot, is what I want to get at here. I think Dominique Wilkins and Bob McAdoo are going to finally get their due. At least Neek. Maybe not Bob McAdoo, but I would like to see him as an MVP get in there. If they are, that's down to 14. And if you listen to that show I did a couple weeks ago, my current modern era locks were, and they haven't been announced yet, Kobe, Wade, Melo, Gary Payton, Pierce, Jason Kidd, LeBron, Curry, Dwight, Kawhi, and Westbrook. If all of them are in, if all of my locks are correct, we're down to three spots then, Lee. And, I mean, this is where it gets insane. This is where the debate's going to kick off tomorrow, because I, on that show, and I continue to say, I can't really separate Reggie Miller and Ray Allen. Like, I feel like if you're going to take one of them, you almost have to take the other. So I'm putting them both in. That leaves one spot, you know, by my list standards here. Four, take your pick. Rodman, McGrady, old guys like Bernard King, Alex English, current guys like Anthony Davis, Damian Lillard, Jokic. I know people want to throw Luka. I think that's not happening. Grant Hill, Vince, Zoe, Dikembe, Kyrie. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on. You know, Tony Parker, Bosch, Yao, Weber, Pau Gasol. It's crazy. So I'm sort of now getting excited about tomorrow because we're going to find out the final 25. And then we're going to be like, what? What? How was so-and-so not included? But again, that comes down to like these final nine guys that are on that top 50. Are we getting rid of like Lenny Wilkins or Dave Bing, Billy Cunningham? I don't know. Like these oldies? Like, yeah, I can't decide anymore. You don't think so, Lee? You think they're all going to be in there?
So. I feel that that was a thing. I think they probably, when they realize that, I mean, I'm speculating here. They're like, it's going to be bad if we like just cut two guys, isn't it? You know, like if we cut 10 or two, I mean.
I think you know, if you cut 4 to 5 guys is the sweet spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, 1 to 2 per day.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And, but, and everyone, you know, those guys you mentioned have got such varied cases. Like does Vince get on simply because of his longevity and what he did and the dunks and the scoring and that, but he never really had any playoff, you know, significant success. So does he just get in just because he hung around the league forever? You know, then you may as well put Kevin Willis on in that sense. But obviously, Kevin didn't have the same impact. But, you know, I mean, that's kind of Vince's case, though, isn't it? Like, I think he was an 8-time All-Star, but no significant individual accolades as far as he was never close to the MVP, defensive player, nothing like that. But it's like, well, Vince and the Raptors, you just sort of put those two together as he really did put them on the map there. But then he had a bad breakup. So I don't know. I don't know how they're going to separate. I think Rodman of those guys, I know I said that early on in mine. Yeah. I think he gets in.
Well, you said Grant Hill and Rodman very early on. I don't think both of those guys are going to be on this list.
Grant Hill is definitely the interesting one. I still believe he is one of the greatest 75 we've ever seen. But because he missed four basically years in his prime, and he also didn't have the playoff success really to help his case there. But in his first 6 seasons in Detroit, I believe he was an all-star and he was on the ascension for sure. Oh, but he goes to Orlando and the injuries derail him. But who knows? I'd like to see what the voters finally went with. And who was that 76th person? That's the one who's just missed out.
Oh, I can't wait. So, Trey, I guess the question is, just make a prediction. Who is going to be like the biggest snub that Twitter and the NBA world is going to be going nuts about later tonight, really? And then leading into tomorrow's drop podcast here. Who do you think it will be?
Damian Lillard.
Okay.
I don't know if I would say biggest snub all of everything, but I think that Lillard, it's going to be tough. Once you get down to naming these modern guys who have to like really, really excel to be here, it's like it's going to be tough for Lillard. It's going to be tough for Anthony Davis, I think. Jokic is a reigning MVP. Probably not, which I think maybe that'll be surprising that an MVP doesn't make the list this young or doesn't make the list, but he's still a young player. But there's going to be a lot of snubs. And I don't know. Hopefully it's a little bit more exciting. It was very weird to have these announced in the middle of the day yesterday.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll tell you about that, Skeets. Well, I was a little like, who cares? They're doing it over the course of 3 days. It's weird, but it's, I don't know, 75 names all at once would also be weird. But it definitely felt like not an event when, like, you just get a Twitter mention that, like, Michael Jordan made the top 75 of all time.
Jordan.
Like a cool tweet.
Oh, I mean, I was sort of like questioning TNT's decision, their rollout to do like 5 names at a time that were just completely arbitrary. ESPN, I'll give them credit. NBA Today, I believe the show is called, formerly The Jump with Malika Andrews and company. they at least were trying to like find ways to like lump the guys that they were naming together. Like there was a whole like Magic Johnson was on the show, so it was like Magic's teammates, you know, like or Lakers legends, I guess I should say, like Worthy and you know, I think they were naming Wilt and Jerry West and stuff like that. And then it was like Magic's contemporaries, so guys he went against, like Bird and Isaiah and stuff like that. They were trying, but at one point they just had to say Walt Frazier, like they did a list and then they're like, also Walt Frazier. Yeah, really silly. I don't need to go on another 10-minute rant about it, but Tass, same question for Trey. Like, who do you think will be the biggest snub come later tonight or tomorrow morning?
Yeah, as far as the people on Twitter, they're going to be angry that those three guys, I think Anthony Davis, Damian Lillard, and Nikola Jokic, I don't think there's a chance those guys really make it. And that's understandable with, you know, where they are in their careers. I mean, they're all sort of different, but yeah, it's just not enough in comparison to what those other guys have done. And I think, yeah, a guy like Grant Hill could easily miss out just because of where his career ended up. And Vince Carter could easily miss out because I do agree with Lee that there's, yeah, not a lot of personal accolades other than the All-Star appearances, not a lot of playoff accolades for Vince. Although you said, Lee, you know, he kind of put Toronto on the map. Kevin Willis did a really good job of putting Toronto on the map when he was a Raptor as well. The short arms as well, the T-Rex arms as well. It's one of those things. I think Dave Bing makes it because Jerry Mathers, Leave It to Beaver, used to dribble like Dave Bing.
Yeah, maybe.
He used to box out like Bing. So I don't know. It is unfortunate. I know we've had our first big beef, and I know Skeets' big beef is the way they've rolled this out. It was just super quiet. Super quiet.
Yeah.
The way they've rolled it. They couldn't even say that it's going to be on ESPN's show. That, I mean, that wasn't really announced. I guess Magic was there, but, you know, it's – do they? I feel like they're anti-controversy. They don't want the debate. So yeah, there will be some tomorrow, and I think the young guys are going to be the ones that are left out.
Yeah,
Rodman's got to be on.
Man, I mean, I had him in.
It's a
so
tight
yeah,
list.
Yeah, but it's tight, man. And yeah. And again, this is assuming that all those guys that are on top 50 are just going to be on the top 75. I think, Lee, I think we're going to be wrong. I think some guys are not going to be there, which is going to be weird. And it's going to be hilarious that there's going to be people saying, how dare you leave off Dave Bing? Which will just be great. It'll be hilarious content. But I think there will only be, I'm going to say 3 to 4 guys. That's what my gut says. I don't know why, but
Bill Walton is a guy that I thought would actually perhaps be on the cutting list. He's played the fewest minutes, like by far, of anybody who was in the top 50. Yeah. And they included him as a Celtic, which, fair enough, he got a title with the Celtics there in 1986, but everybody knows him as a Portland Trailblazer. That's why he's really making it. So seeing Walton in there, and that just made me think that it's just going to be running back the same 50, which, fair enough, I think that's a fair move to do. But it definitely felt like they were going to be going for a whole new list and some people could be left off. But if Walton made it as an MVP, despite playing so few games, I think the top 50 will stay.
It's just appearing that Giannis is going to be the equivalent of Shaq making it, you know, back at the top 50 list. What I mean by that is being the younger guy that still has so much ahead of him. Now, Giannis has accomplished even way more than Shaq had at that point when he was named. But I was getting into it with people about some saying, Luka's going to be on this list. I'm like, no, he's not. He's not. I'm sorry. He's amazing. You probably will be right to put him on. He hasn't won a playoff series, though. I mean, you got, like, when Shaq was announced, he had just gone to the finals. Like, he had taken the Magic as a super young, talented big. He lost to Hakeem in the finals, but he had gone there. That just had happened the season prior. So I don't think Luka's making it. Like, Jokic has more of a case over him, I think, even. And like we said, maybe a Lillard and Anthony Davis of current players.
Yeah. Giannis is in his ninth season, though, too. Like, this is not – Shaq was in his fourth at the time. Like Giannis is, you know, he's a veteran already.
No, I totally.
Yeah,
I totally
yeah. Like, it, yeah. Like we
but
sort
he's 26
of, sort of,
years old.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. You think he's probably younger than he is, but like a 9-year vet, you know, it's like, oh, he's accomplished so much already. So he's kind of in for all the accolades individually and, of course, now the championship too.
Yeah. People are asking if Penny was on the top 50 list. No, he definitely wasn't. Shaq was the young name. that was included with all those legends like David Robinson and Drexler and Jordan, of course, and all that stuff. Scottie Pippen and all of them so far are, yes, and Dave Bing. Don't forget about him. So we'll see. Wow. Tonight, Final 25. I think it starts at 6 o'clock on TNT. Taz, you're right. I don't know. I know it's on that channel. I don't know when they're doing it and how they're going to do it tonight. I assume they just do what they did on Tuesday night with five names at a time, and we'll eventually get to 75. But Shaq will be named, so that'll be fun. You know, Charles will say, I was named before you. Shaq will say, it's not in order. And then Kenny will say something, and they'll be like, shut up, you're not even on it. So, yeah, you know, you can see it happening. Okay, let's take one more break, but we have a fascinating tweet of the night. We got pick 'em results, so don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Hey guys, whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. No sound effects, I don't have them loaded up, and I got too much going on over here. Good news guys, I finally got the notification from Shopify that the pickleball paddle I've had my eye on is back in stock.
Yes.
I have not purchased it yet. Oh. Why? Because I stink at pickleball! Got my ass handed to me yesterday.
Really?
Yeah, oh my God, so bad. Anyway, Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling scented soap or peddling pickleball paddles, how's that for alliteration?
Nice one.
Thank you. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen's, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. By the way, did you know Shopify is Canadian?
No.
I did not know that. Headquarters in Ottawa.
Wow.
Homer. Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify.com/NoDucks.
Just one more comment about the top 75 here. Great point from Dave and the stream team. Giannis right now is further into his career than David Robinson was in his career in 96 when he was named. Crazy. Great point, Dave. Pretty wild to think about. Giannis has been around for a minute. I guess David Robinson did do 2 years of military service before he came in and then just dominated the league. He was an all-star in his first season, I think, like putting up 24 and 12s and stuff like that. But great point. He is there. Okay, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
The night comes to us from a little place called Formula One. You ever heard of it? At F1 on Twitter, they tweeted, when F1 meets the NBA. To celebrate our return to the USA and the NBA season tipping off this week, we decked out our 2022 cars in some team-inspired liveries. Which one is your favorite? They're going to be doing all of these. Ooh. Hit us with 10 of them last night. Ooh, that racing green from the Milwaukee Bucks. Green and cream. Looks delicious to me. Of course, I'm a fan of the Chicago Red Bulls here. Also kind of looks nice. Like a Ferrari, but yep. That's nice. These are great. There's been a lot of Formula One NBA content this week. You know, there's going to be a race on Sunday here in the United States of America, the U.S. Grand Prix down there in Austin. Apparently, Shaq is going to be DJing a set at the Austin Grand Prix. And today, on Thursday, there's going to be a charity free throw contest for Formula One drivers. Skeets.
Wow.
You're a man who's watched a lot of free throws in your life. Yeah. And your fair share of the recent Formula One season. Who would you say is the favorite here?
Well, this is funny because my wife, Nora, who is really into F1, way more than I am, she told me about this. She was like, do you know these F1 guys are going to be having this free throw contest? She's like, what? No. And she's like, yeah, I think both of the Canadians will be in it. And I was like, what? Why? And she's like, I don't know, they're Canadian, so they're probably familiar with basketball. Like, maybe some of these international guys are not hoops heads. I don't know. I know Charles was at a game recently. I think
yeah,
he was
sitting Leclerc
courtside
and Gasly were sitting courtside with Tony Parker, which is pretty funny.
I guess what I'm getting at is just because of Nora telling me Eric Stroll's going to win this thing.
Lance Stroll.
I mean, Lance Stroll. See, I don't know.
Stroll. Yeah,
like
sure.
The Stahl
why
brothers.
Not? Yeah, I think that's a fair.
Oh, Ricardo.
Sure, that's a fair pick. No, Ricardo. They had.
Oh,
Ricardo,
he sucks.
Like,
yeah,
he sucks. Yeah. They had him on Drive to Survive, shooting around with like one of his trainers, and he was just brutal. But yeah, actually, that's a fair strategy there. A Canadian would probably be good at free throws. I don't know why. You know, I've seen this guy wearing a shirt that says basketball is Canadian, even though it was invented in Kansas. That being said, maybe they got the free throws there. Nonetheless, should be some good Formula One content for no breaks, tentatively scheduled for next week after the U.S. Grand Prix.
Nice.
Okay. Where did you say the Grand Prix is this weekend? Sorry, Trey.
Austin, Texas.
Ah, there he is.
I knew he was setting you up for something just by how seriously he asked you. Matt Austin, Texas. He waves the checkered flag at this race. It's his race. Not a lot of people know that.
It feels like this guy could be Warwick Giddy. That looks like a racing kit right
like
there.
The windblown hair.
Yeah, look how many ads are on it.
Look at his son. Yeah. His son is Josh Giddy's riding along with Warwick. His hair blowing like crazy there.
Yeah. All sponsored by Mitsubishi, actually, too. So, yeah, there is a car connection there to the NBL.
Oh, okay. There we go. Excellent. No breaks coming later next week after this race. And then, what's going on here? F1 just really trying to, like, tap into the American market, I guess, you know, with the success of Drive to Survive. And now they've added the Miami race, which is what happening. Is that next season?
Next season. Yeah, next season. Honestly, Netflix has been huge, you know, and Formula One is bigger in the United States now than it probably ever has been. So you got to tap in. They heard that Kevin Durant knows who Max Verstappen is and said, we're all in.
Yeah.
Lights out and away we go with the content.
I kicked this off by demanding for Kevin Durant to answer me on Twitter if he knew who Max Verstappen was. And he said, yeah. And then he was like all defensive that I was like setting him up for a joke.
You got a joke?
Yeah.
Hey, what's your Austin joke?
I was like, no, I just wanted to know. We had a little bet going. Okay, great. Excited for the race and excited for no breaks early next week. Okay, pick 'em results from last night. Lee, you swerved and it worked out for you in that insane Knicks-Celtics game at MSG. New York had to win by two or more, and they pull it off in the double overtime. So a win for Lee, a loss for everybody else. Trey and I won one task, looking for his first W here in our early pick'em results. But what's the game tonight, T?
Well, first, let me say, if I was a line maker, I know it seems odd, but I would say that the line ends at the end of regulation. Like, you determine whether or not the winner comes. Is it? Like, that's the end of regulation. So a team is favored by 14.
It's not the end of the game.
I know. It's just strange to me. It's like a team is favored by 11.5. Oh, they go into regulation. They lose by, or they go into overtime, I should say. They lose by 12. They lose. Strange one.
Well, it could be like blackjack. Like, you should be allowed to like take insurance on the dealer showing an ace or something. You're like, all right, yeah, I'm out here. I don't want to know what happens in overtime. Maybe you can like get half your money back or something. Anyways,
tonight's game, night three of the season, or sort of night two. But anyways, I'm 0-2 going into this one. Milwaukee at Miami. Miami by getting 1.5 at home. And I'm the swerver. I just want to lose. Everybody going with the Bucks other than me. Miami, as their home opener, obviously. I'm just kind of riding that idea. And I want to be like Skeets wearing that purple cricket Raptors hat. I just want to lose every game.
You're trying to lose already.
Yeah, why not? That's a sweet hat.
Yeah, there you go. We're now calling swerving leaning into the bean. All right? That's a rule. I just made it. Okay. Actually, just speaking of hats, let's throw this in here. Why not? We're an hour and 30 in.
Yeah, sure.
You see these new hats, these MLB New Era hats that are like a collab with like Off-White, I guess it is, Trey. Yeah. JD, I don't know if you have them there. They're insane for everybody listening. They're baseball hats that have holes in them. Just, there's a hole
straight up holes.
In the cap part, and there's a hole in the brim. So Trey, even you, Mr. Fashion, thinks this is too much, eh?
These are brutal. What is going on? I don't know which one is weirder to me. There's the one you're seeing here, like the Chicago White Sox one, looks like it has a bite taken out of the crown. Okay.
Yeah.
Is that weirder or less weird than the Florida Marlins one that has a bite taken out of the brim? I think the brim is the weirdest part, personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I guess, like, a hole blown in the side of your head, also pretty strange. I was happy that they did not have an Atlanta Braves one of these, because then I knew that I was definitely not going to buy one.
Oh, okay.
Because, no thank you.
Stick my dick in a hat. I'd like to do that with that A's one, that's for sure. Look at that. Weird
what
stuff.
What are the lines beside the team logo? They look like quotation marks.
Yeah, it's...
That's his thing. That's his signature. Yeah, oh. Virgil Abloh.
Socks.
I didn't know that.
Did you ever take a black marker, Trey, and make socks into sex when you were younger? That was a big thing on the playground.
I definitely made some socks into sex when I was a youngster.
Put my dick in a sock. All right.
Hold on. Here's a curveball for you, Skeets. I did my own research. One player had a big beef off the bench last season.
Oh, nice.
We saw this player play last night for a certain team in Chicago. You will not get this guy.
Isaiah Stewart?
No, good. Good guess, though. He did start. Changed teams in the offseason.
A plum dog? No.
Not a plum dog. No. Fair.
Kelly Olynyk? No way.
This guy, I would say, shortest center that played last night.
Ooh.
In the Pistons-Bulls game.
He's on the Bulls.
He's on the Bulls.
Oh, okay. Hold on. Shortest center.
They got a small bench. But I did mention that this guy said he's the best rebounder in Chicago since Dennis Rodman. I think I mentioned that during the preseason.
It's not Patrick Williams.
Nope. Hey, hold on a second. Let's grind this thing to a halt.
Yeah.
Quick. Let's see if we can stretch it.
There
it is!
Alizé Johnson? Yeah.
Alizé Johnson had a 20-rebound game off the bench for the Nets last season. Mm. 21 boards.
I don't remember that.
Nah. Man.
April 29th, 2021. That might have been the very last night of the season, or at least pretty close.
The old everyone's playing. Half
it's a Ben Uzo for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Jeez. All right, Alizé. What a way to end it. Talking about holes and hats. beefs off the bench. Email us your questions, guys. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com. Hit us up on Twitter @NoDunksInc. Or drop a comment below the video here on YouTube. Grab yourself an Athletic subscription if you haven't already. Mad cheap right now. Hell of a deal. Go to theathletic.com/NoDunks. Less than $3 a month. And finally, let's slip this in. Later today, join us live for our No Buffs Survivor podcast with Jason Concepcion. No Buffs has its very own YouTube, Apple, and Spotify feeds. So if you want that sweet Survivor content from your boys, from Jason and JD, Trey and I, you got to seek that out over on No Buffs. Type that in, Survivor 41, and we'll be live here on YouTube on the No Buffs channel at 5:30 p.m. Eastern, 2:30 p.m. Pacific. Get your questions in about Survivor if you watched it last night. Otherwise, we won't touch it here, so we'll have no spoilers. We will see you guys tomorrow. Drop podcast on Friday, baby. Till then, Clipper Bros,
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, I've got a question about Survivor. How the heck could you do that to... Oh, I'm not going to spoil it. Not going to spoil it.
Race the day, people!